The digital clock outside the Fenice stood at 537 on the day Laura Migliore found traces of green paint exactly where she had hoped to find them, meaning that the truncated figure in the foreground had been Virgil after all. At 1 o'clock that same day, an appellate court in Mestre upheld the guilty verdicts of Enrico Carella and Massimiliano Marchetti. Lawyers for the two young men announced they would take their case to a higher court, the Court of Cassazione in Rome, for the second and final appeal. A year later, in midsummer 2003, the theater resembled a life-size plywood model of itself, bare ceiling, bare walls, and 5 tiers of bare wooden boxes. It seemed impossible that the Fenice would be finished in 4 months, but construction managers assured the press that the rebuilding was still on target. Shortly after noon on day 140, word came from Rome that the Cassazione court had rejected the final appeal of Carella and Marchetti. They would go to jail. The police arrived at Marchetti's house at 4 p.m. and led him away in handcuffs to begin serving a sentence of 6 years. "That Cassazione court really busted my balls," said Marchetti's lawyer, Giovanni Seno, when I called him a week afterward. "They usually give a person a couple of days to get his affairs in order before they finalize the sentence and lock him up. Ball breakers. Last year I had a guy sentenced to 9 years for drug trafficking, and they let a month go by before they arrested him. But that's nothing. My associate has a woman defendant who's a drug addict slash robber slash prostitute, and she's still free after 1.5 years because they can't find the paperwork from the appeals court, so they haven't finalized her sentence. Marchetti, they grab in a couple of hours. Tell me, where was he going to run off to with a newborn baby girl and a wife? But Carella..." Enrico Carella had not been home when the police came to get him, nor did he turn up later on in the day or the next day. In an interview 2 months earlier, he had told Gianluca Amadori of the Gazzettino that if his appeal failed, he would serve his term. Carella's defense attorney said shortly after the appeal was rejected that he had already spoken with Carella and that he would surrender himself soon. On the third day, the Venetian authorities pronounced Carella missing, but not in hiding. At the end of the week, they declared him a fugitive. "So who forfeits the bail money?" I asked Seno, "and how much was it?" "What bail?" he said. "We don't have a bail system in Italy. We had one for 2 or 3 years, but there weren't any bail bondsmen like you have in America, so only the rich defendants were able to get off. It became a social issue." "Do you think the police are still looking for him?" "I know they are, because obviously it's a humiliating defeat for them. They didn't catch the one they should have caught. In my opinion, Carella behaved like someone who was going to take off. He prepared for it. Even the interview he gave the Gazzettino was part of the setup, saying he'd serve his term if the Cassazione went against him. It's not over yet. I've been in this business 30 years, and I'm not used to losing cases. I haven't shelved the file. I have it all on computer, and I promise you that if something happens, I'll let you know. I haven't told you everything. I have to be honest with you. I haven't told you everything." Whatever it was that Giovanni Seno was holding back from me, it could not have been much comfort to Massimiliano Marchetti, who was serving time in a jail in Padua, the same jail Seno's old mafia client Felice Angelface Maniero had broken out of a few years before. I went to Solzano to see the Marchettis. We sat in their kitchen drinking Cokes from a plastic liter bottle, as we had on my first visit.